Well, good morning, Emmanuel. Are you as thrilled as I am to be here? You know, not only, thank you for answering that, not only is it thrilling for us to be here, but it's thrilling for me to be speaking about God's amazing promises. And what's exciting about me been talking about this subject is that God's amazing promises are very personal to me, as they are to you. The promise of heaven, the promise of the Holy Spirit, the promise of a future with Him, of guidance by Him, of protection and peace through Him. And today I want to share with you another promise that God has given us. It's a promise that only Jesus can make. And for us to understand this, we're going to go into our Bibles to John chapter 10. We'll get camp out there for a little bit, because in John chapter 10, you may recall, Jesus is having a discussion, a conversation with the Pharisees, who were the legalists of the religious order of Jesus' day. And he was trying to explain to them who he is, why he came, what his purpose was, and what can result from his coming to those who believe. He's using the imagery of a shepherd and of a gate and of a sheep pen, and we're the sheep. And it's all bewildering to the Pharisees and even to the disciples at this time. They're confused. They don't understand what he's saying. And so we pick up at verse 7. It says this, "Therefore, Jesus said again, 'Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They'll come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come that they may have life and have it to the full.'" And so here's Jesus giving two clear pictures of who he is and a promise. He's talking about who I am and the purpose for which I came. That the abundant life, the life to the full, is the promise that he promises to give those. A thief cannot do that, but he can do that. And so finally, in verse 10, we come to the promise, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." And that is the first point. Jesus promises life to the full. That's the promise that only Jesus can make. And this promise is for us, it's for you and for me, that we can have this abundant life, we can have it to the full. But what does it mean to have a life to the full? He's not saying in this text that we're going to live longer than people who do not believe in Jesus, that we're going to have more money than people that do not believe in Jesus. He's not saying that our life is going to be free from pain if only we become a Christian, because through much tribulation you enter into the kingdom of heaven, the Lord has said. No, he's not saying any of those things. So what is he talking about? Life to the full. Well, maybe I can give you an example. Many years ago, when our kids were very young, which was many years ago, my wife and I, not too long in the ministry, decided we'd scrimp up, save as much as we could, and take our trip to Hawaii. And so the day came and we were at LAX ready to go to Hawaii, and I promised her that she would see the sunset in Hawaii that day. However, as we were waiting for the plane to board, we got a notification that there was going to be a delay because there was mechanical difficulties. Have you ever heard of such a thing? And so there we sat at LAX, baggage already on the plane. We're sitting in this little chair, waiting, hours on end waiting, 2, 3, 4, 5 hours waiting. And I thought to myself, well, she's not going to see the sunset in Hawaii today. And then as the day became night, finally they said, we're now ready to board. But before they started boarding, somebody up there by the booth said, may I please see Edwin Krueger up front, please? Uh-oh. So I go up front with my ticket and my wife's ticket, and the person up there says, well, I just want to let you know that you won't be seated in our plane in your seat. And then out churned some paper coming out of some device. These are your new seats. 1A. We got first class. And my wife and I, have you ever flown first class to Hawaii? This is an okay thing. This is an okay thing. And so here we were. We're not in 44B and 45B anymore. We're now on 1A and 2A, and we are in these seats of first class. They recline into beds, which by this time you're going to need. And not only that, but as you're sitting there, they come with all sorts of libations and food and nuts and all kinds of goodies. They're pampering you to death. And we were flying all the way to Hawaii. And right before we got to Hawaii, my brain kicked in. And I thought, that guy sitting in 44B, and here I am in 1A, we're both going to get to Hawaii at exactly the same time. It doesn't matter what row I'm in. We're both going to get there at exactly the same time. The only difference is, what a ride I've had. What a ride I've had. First class to Hawaii. That's the abundant life, my friend. You can kind of go through life and make it to heaven and never really enjoy the first class that is yours and mine in the Lord for as a Christian. Oh, we have our ups and downs and maybe a little bit of a bumpy ride sometimes, but it's different as we go toward our destination. Now, you may have had your own idea of what the abundant life ought to look like. And you may have devoted much of your life toward achieving what this abundant life ought to look like. And you may have saved all your life so you can have enough in your IRA. And you can have a big home. And you can have a fancy place and everything else that surrounds that so you can have the abundant life. And yet the Lord tells us that none of that is the abundant life. But rather, it's a relationship with Jesus. Here's the thing. Christ promises life to the full. Only he can deliver, because he says, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. So a life to the full is a result of being connected to Jesus. Let me give you an example. Back in 2007, I was invited to accompany Missions International to Tanzania, Africa, to check out some of the mission activities going on in the villages, especially among the Maasai warriors that were there. And the Maasais were a group of nomadic people that would hunt, and they would have their cows, and they would have the grains. And they would go between Kenya and Tanzania, and they would have these places. I don't know if you can show that first slide. This is what a Maasai village looked like. So that's where we entered. You'll see the outer wall. You're in the Serengeti Plain, which means that's where you go on safaris to see lions and leopards and rhinoceroses and ostriches and all those things that were there, which we saw. And that outer wall would protect the people that were living in there, the Matzais, from those animals. Once you went in the gate to get into that area, there would be another gate, there'd be another fence right in the middle where they would keep all their cows. And then around that, they would have their huts. So the most precious possession, their cows, will be have huts around it and a fence and gate around that. And then if you look at the second slide, you can see the chief of the Matzai village that we went in. He invited us into his home, which was a hut. And it was an earth floor, no electricity, nothing. And that's where they lived. And they would go from place to place, and they would live. And they always had smiles on their faces. I want to show you what happened as in a minute to cause this to occur. The next slide shows Karen being given a robe by the Matzais. And the reason she was given a robe for the Matzais is that while we were out working with the missionaries, the Christians from America and elsewhere, together with the Christians that had been converted in Tanzania, formed an orphanage for the children who had lost their parents because of malaria and AIDS. And Karen would go to the orphanage, and she brought to the orphanage with her some purple fingernail polish. Purple was a royal color for them. And so the next slide shows you all the kids with their purple fingernail polish. And there were maybe 50, 60 kids there, and they all got fingernail polish. It didn't matter if you were a boy or a girl. You had fingernail polish on, and this was a treat that they had never had before, and they were totally delighted, and they were giggling all the way, and Karen was having so much fun. And we got back into the village, and they put the robe on Karen, making her a Matzai. You're officially Matzai. And we went into the home of the one of the mothers, one of the ladies who was converted and who had allowed us to be there with them at the orphanage. And she invited us into her home. Now, there was no electricity. It was a dirt floor. Off to the side was some slats for beds. The whole place was as big as your closet, some of your walk-in closets that you have. That's where they lived. They had no internet. They had a cell phone, but they had nothing else. They had no running water. Every morning she would get up at 5:30, go get running water, and start the meal of tilapia, which she got from Lake Victoria, fish, fresh fish she would make for the kids, work till noon, slaving away every day doing this for these children. And when I got in there and we were invited into her hut, I just said, is there anything I can get you from America? Is there anything that you need? We can get you stuff to help you. And she smiled and she laughed and she says, oh, no, no, no. I am so blessed. I am so blessed to be a Christian. I am so blessed to have you as a friend. I have everything I need. And it was then that we almost began to cry. How stupid of me to think that I could give her anything when she had everything. It was I who was learning from her about all the stuff I don't need and don't use. And how little you really need as long as you have a connection with the Lord, a relationship with Him that forms the abundant life. Christ wants to give us that life. And one of the most powerful places where He tells us of this is in John chapter 15. You remember last week, it was Lutheran Women's Missionary League Sunday, we listened and watched Cindy Steinbeck from a winery in Paso Robles tell us a little bit about her vines and so forth from, and then used John 15 as a reference point. Let me read a couple verses. remain in me, as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. And neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine. And Jesus is talking. You are the branches. And if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you're like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. It's all about our connection with Jesus. As the vine flows, its nutrients flow into the branches. And as more and more of the nutrients of God's word flow into the branches, the branch can't help but receive the nutrients and start budding and start blossoming and start creating fruit all over. Fruit, more fruit, much fruit all over this connection with Jesus. The abundant life is about believing and receiving, first of all. What I'm saying is it all begins with a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. You believe, and then you begin to deepen your connection with him. In John 1, verse 12, it says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he came, gave the right to become the children of God." If you don't have a relationship with him, then you cannot bear fruit because you're not connected to the vine. But once that relationship is there, then you allow the nutrients more and more to come into you, the branch, for the purpose of bearing fruit while we're here on earth. That's the purpose for the branch, to bear fruit, more and much fruit, and have the abundant life. Let me tell you, a few years ago, 2012 to be exact, got something in the mail that changed my life forever. It was an invitation to one of the most exclusive clubs in the planet. I received in the mail my Starbucks gold card. This is a big deal, people. So when this came in the mail, I opened it up and I said, "Karen, we have it made now. We have an official Starbucks gold card. It's only given to their best customers, and that must be us." Now, there's one thing. In order to get the gold card to click in, you've got to put $50 into it initially, and then you have to use it. But once you put the money in, and keep putting money in, and use it, it never stops. You're automatically a gold card member for the rest of your life. And guess what? Every so often, we get stars. And these stars can accumulate until eventually, after you spend about $30, they give you free a cake pop. Have you ever tried a cake pop? Oh, my, my. Well, here's what you need to understand. Christ is inviting us into a relationship with himself and inviting us to be connected to him, to be a member of his family. This is an invitation which needs to be received, needs to be opened up, needs to be actualized. And so we can get the benefits of being in a relationship with Jesus Christ. And actually, Jesus talks about the benefits of such a relationship in John chapter 10. He says this, "I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved." Benefit, right? "They will come in and go out and find pasture." Contentment, peace, unconditional love and hope. Benefit. "The thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." Benefit, benefit, benefit. In order to experience the promise that of life to the full, it begins with a connection with Jesus Christ. Then secondly, as the nutrients of that vine come through the branches, and we begin to develop a whole new life of trusting and obeying. Trusting and obeying. When we trust Jesus, and when we are obedient to what he asks us, it deepens our connection with him. And it's that deeper connection with him that make this abundant life all the more real for us. Branch to vine, we experience life to the full. John 10 says this, he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all that he owns, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. And he leads them out, and his sheep follow. And so this is what happens. We follow Jesus wherever he takes us. We follow Jesus into the messy world wherever he's taking us. And this is 2020, and we have a very messy world on our hands. No one could have conjured where Jesus would lead us in 2020. Let me tell you, I have never experienced a year in my life like 2020. How about you? And a lot of it we're thinking is just not a good year at all. We don't want a repeat anytime soon. And yet, I've been pushed in my ministry in ways I have never been pushed before. I used to have Bible studies and at times small groups, and if we're lucky, we could meet once a week. I now have people meeting with me on a daily basis 5 times a week for 7 months. I've never had this happen before, where I'm with the people day in, day out, for 7 months, all getting into things in God's Word that we've never done before. This never would have happened had it not been for 2020. Then another way we experience our connection with Jesus is that by loving and serving. In 1 John 4:19, it says, we love because he first loved us. Pretty straightforward. We love because he loved us. And I think, you know, that if one thing is true, this is what I'm seeing more and more happening because of this pandemic. Ways in which all of you are expressing love. I don't want to pick any one person out, but I'm just thinking of Tom Bell. He goes out by himself, not because I tell him to or anybody tells him to, and he's giving certificates to all the policemen in Clovis and the firemen. These policemen that our kids are being taught are terrible people who are first responders. He's telling them how much God loves them and what they're doing. And by the way, I represent Emmanuel Lutheran Church. And then there are others of you who are sending out cards in the mail to those who are homebound and those who are hospitalized and those who are sequestered and very lonely at this time. And those of you who are on the phone, just calling somebody up. So many ways in which we're letting this abundant life we have in Jesus Christ just come right through all the way. Yeah. It's true. I would love to have a hug. Our church was founded on hugs. Love God, love others, and show it was a little bit like hugging. Of course, we had the handshake line for a few of you. Now we have a sign. Today, what does it mean to live the abundant life? I think it means to step out and be counted, to let God's word bear fruit wherever and whenever it can. 500 and some years ago, in 1529 exactly, Martin Luther was being excommunicated by the church of his day. He was being taken away from God, taken away from the sacraments, told he was going to hell. His family was being threatened. His life was being threatened. All because he would not recant But he would say, I am the branch, Christ is the vine, I am to bear fruit, his word is what's important, and if I don't have his word coming into me, I am nothing. And he closes the most popular of all Christian hymns, sung by many churches on this day, A Mighty Fortress Is Our God, with this fourth verse that says this, The word they still shall let remain, nor any thanks have for it. He's by our side upon the plain with his good gifts and spirit. And take they our life, goods, fame, child, and wife. Let these all be gone, yet they have nothing won. Thy kingdom ours remaineth. This is the one promise that Christ can give. Shall we join together in prayer? Lord God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be your children together. We thank you for the space we have to be able to worship you, for loving you, and for seeing how much you mean to us. Thank you for your promise that you've given us, the promise that only you can make and you can keep, the promise of a full, abundant life. Oh, Lord God, help us to lean into you today, to lean into our connection with you this week, so that we can be blown away by the fullness that you have for us. God, help us to let go of our circumstances, whatever they are. Help us to let go of all this stuff that gets in the way of your love. Father, help us to let go of our pain. Help us to let go of our hurts. Help us to let go of anything that would overshadow our eyes on you, on this fullness that you offer. So we thank you for loving us the way you do in your Son, Jesus Christ, through his death and resurrection. We're so grateful. And so we ask that your abundant life might be shown into the lives of those who are hurting, who are healing, who are sequestered, who are homebound. Lord, we bring before you all of our prayers. Amen.